Your Bibles, the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 15. And actually, I'm going to start reading in verse 10. Matthew 15, verse 10. These are the words of Christ speaking. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Christ answered that. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. I'm going to stop right there. And start by saying, I try to be careful when I'm up here. I try to be careful about what I say and how I say it. Now, some days that works out pretty well, and other days maybe not so much. But this scripture is one reason why. What comes out of the mouth shows the abundance of the heart. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Jesus Christ is my God. And I want to speak about him truthfully, accurately, to the best of my ability. Because I don't want what comes out of my mouth to defile me. Because the surest way I know of to defile yourself is to speak lies about God, is to speak lies about Christ, is to speak lies about the Holy Spirit. And we are surrounded by it. There are church buildings on every corner, and in most of those church buildings, somebody's lying about God. And Christ said, Leave them alone. They'd be blind leaders of the blind. And if you're following the blind, you're going to end up in the ditch with him. They both end up in the ditch. Leave them alone. That's three words I don't want to hear. Or four words. They can't count. Now, I don't worry so much about lying while I'm up here, to be honest, as I do about saying something stupid or saying something dumb or just saying something incorrectly. That's what I shoot for when I'm up here, not to sound stupid. Because I've heard enough dumb things come out of preachers' mouths to last me a lifetime. Now, not in this place, thankfully, but in other places and on television and on radio. And I don't want to add to the problem. But when I read this scripture, I think about the people I have hurt. Walter, we've heard people defile themselves. I didn't know it at the time. Seriously, I thought preachers said stupid things every now and then, because I didn't know any better at the time. Because you're going back 20, 25 years. It's before we met Earl. I mean, I heard Henry Mahan on the television, but that was as close as I got to it. But reading this, I understand and I believe wholeheartedly that the scriptures are not up to a private interpretation. But when I read the scriptures, I read them personally as it applies to me. I worry about me defiling myself. I don't worry so much about you people defiling yourself, because I don't know you as well as I know me. And Mason, I understand Romans 7. I live there in some of that. To when I would do good, there's evil present in me. I know that. And when I read something like this, when I read Romans 3 where it says there's none good, no, not one, I think of me. I don't think of you. I think of me. Because it is intensely personal to me. It's not private. It's what the word says. It's not a private interpretation where I'm seeing something off in the air and this is what this scripture means. No, the scripture says what it says, but it's talking to me personally. And I believe all of God's children who have been converted understand what I'm saying. Because the scripture talks to you. The words of Christ, the Spirit, is to bear witness about the things of Christ and tell them to you, just like it tells it to me. And so when I read this, Walter, one of the things I was doing was I was reading a little bit of The Bondage of the Will. And let me get to that little place here. I read Luther quoted Erasmus's definition of free will. And Erasmus was nothing else, if nothing else, Walter, he was honest. And if most people would read this today, they would agree with him. And that's the problem. Moreover, this is Erasmus's words, moreover, I conceive of free will in this context as a power of the human will by which a man may apply himself to those things that lead to eternal salvation or turn away from the same. Eric's not here again, but that lesson that he gave me is the exact same thing. The way they defined it was that was grace was God's part, faith is our part. Erasmus is saying that we have a part in salvation. That's wrong. That's dead wrong. And the part that I liked best, I was in the introduction where I don't know who wrote the introduction, I didn't look. He wrote something to this effect. The problem that Luther had with what Erasmus said was, what Erasmus said about free will denies the words of Christ. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. The will comes from the heart. And if the heart is depraved, this is what comes out of it. They are denying the very words of my Lord Jesus Christ when they talk about free will. Because Jesus Christ said, He is the way, He is the light, He is the truth. He is wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ is salvation. And to preach free will is to deny that. That salvation is of the Lord. What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. So if there's a problem with your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. Three chapters before Matthew, Christ said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? That's a rhetorical question. You can't. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart. The majority of it. What it is fixed upon, what it wants, what it knows, what it believes, that's where the mouth speaks. Whatever is most loved by your heart and mind will come out your mouth. A good man speaks out of the good treasure of his heart. But I'll tell you this, good treasure don't come naturally. Remember I quoted just a minute, there's none good, no, not one. So if there is a good man, something changed. But that's not what he's talking about. It says, and an evil man brings forth evil things out of the evil treasure of his heart. A new heart I give you. Because a new heart is what we need. It's what I need. Evil treasure, on the other hand, is natural. Out of an evil heart. That's part of the natural man. What man wants to do proceeds from his heart. What a man says is part of what he does. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Mark 7:21 put it, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, etc. Everything comes from the heart. Everything a man does or says comes from within, except for the good heart. A new heart I give you. You don't have one naturally. No man has one naturally. I think that's the problem some people do have with Romans 7, Mason. They don't understand the difference of when he's talking what I was and then he's talking about what I am. There's a change in between there that they miss. And in missing that, they're showing forth that some of them are showing forth they don't know what having a good heart is. Because that's when the battle begins. There's no war in your members if you don't have a new heart. I get tickled. I used to listen to people talk about, it's a wonderful thing to get saved. Everything's all glorious and rosy and everything else. And that's true. But there's also a lot of troubles that come that you never had before. There's a struggle that goes on I didn't know anything about before, Mason. There's a struggle that in me now, that when I would do good, evil is present. Well, evil's always been present. I just didn't know it. So I didn't have to struggle with it. And before, good wasn't there, so there wasn't a fight. everything a man does or says comes from within, comes out of the abundance of his heart. Now, how do you get a good heart? Jeremiah wrote this: can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? No. Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. When the leopard can change his spots, you can change your heart. When the leopard can change his spots and make them squares or whatever, or get rid of them, or make it all black, make it all yellow, whatever. When the leopard can change something, then you can get a good heart yourself. You can change your heart. Not before. A man accustomed to doing evil cannot do good. Man's will is ineffective in doing good. Man is incapable by nature of doing good. Jeremiah explains it later. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's not bad enough. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? If your heart's deceitful, how are you going to know? If you're deceived, how do you know? Walter said it. If you know you're deceived, you wouldn't be deceived. The heart is deceitful above all things. And people with hearts are deceived by their own heart. I read a couple weeks ago in John 16:1, these things I've spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. That's being deceived. That's being deceived by your own heart. When they get to the point where they think killing you is doing God a favor, because of the truth of Christ, that almost sounds like strong delusion, Walter. But they should believe a lie, because the heart is deceitful above all things. This was Christ's warning to his disciples. People want to kill you because of what you say about me. Because of the name of Christ, because of the word of Christ, because of the message of Christ, people may want you dead. Actually, people will want you dead. They just may not say it. I've seen it. But how do you get a good heart? It comes from God. It comes from Christ. And I looked up the word good there. And it's the same word when the rich young ruler came to him and he said, good master, what must I do to be saved? And Christ looked at him and said, why callest thou me good? That word good means good. God good. There's none good but one, that is God. That's what Christ told that rich young ruler. That rich young ruler never called him good again in that account, and in actually any of those three accounts where it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He never called him good again after God, Christ told him that only God is good. So at that time, he was not recognizing Christ as God. And he did go away sorrowful. Now I'm hoping something good happened for him. because Christ dealt with him where he was. But the definition of good is none's good but God. A new heart I will give you. If I go, the Comforter shall come, and he will guide you. He will lead you and guide you into all truths. For he will not testify of himself, he's going to speak of me. Walter, that parable about the sower didn't make the good ground. The seed didn't make the good ground. That's not what that parable is about. There is good ground. There is bad ground. There is a wayside. There's a rocky, stony ground. But the seed doesn't make it good. The sower doesn't make it good. The only person that can make good ground, the only person that makes a good heart and gives a good heart, is Jesus Christ. Now the seed that falls on that good ground has a result. The seed that falls on that stony ground has a result. The seed that falls on the bad ground, the throughway, the roadway, it has a result. But the only good result is what falls on the good ground. The only good treasure is that's in a good heart. And that comes from without, not from within. It comes from the Spirit of God, giving life, giving faith, which he has promised as his gift to his people. I don't want to hear the words, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind," in reference to me. Those are scary words. Because that's right up there with, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Leave them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And they're both ending up in the ditch. I do have a note here where it says, "Those things proceed of the mouth, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." I wrote here in the margin, Walter, Christ's heart was not defiled. He had no sin. He knew no sin. And he gives the good heart. That's what I believe. I believe God is true and every man's a liar. I believe Christ is true and every man's a liar. I believe the Holy Spirit's true and every man's a liar. And that includes me. I still remember Earl telling that story about, and people got upset about it. "I was depraved, I am depraved, and I shall be depraved until I awaken his likeness or until I am changed." That's the truth. Because within me, I believe, is that good heart, but also within me is still the flesh, still that evil heart of unbelief. And until I am changed, or until I am awakened, changed into his likeness, I will carry that with me. And so does every one of his children. But I thank Christ I thank God for what He has given me, that I know Him, that I believe Him, that I love Him, and I want to love Him more. Our Father, we are thankful for Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and lived on this world perfectly and became the perfect sacrifice for sin forever, and who gives life, quickens even as the Father is quickened, all of His children wherever they are. Thank You for Him, in whose name we pray. Amen.